Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later in this programme, we'll be hearing from Michael Chance, the chairman of the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association. It holds its AGM next Tuesday in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. And the special speaker will be the newly elected president of the IFA, Joe Healy. But first, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association held a protest this week against the proposed Mercosur and TTIP trade deals. Well, I've been speaking with the ICSA's president, Patrick Kent, to find out more. I'm not underestimating or understating things when I say that this is a potential crisis of near alarmist proportions for the agricultural community. If some of the deals that we hear about go through, the consequences for Irish farmers could be catastrophic.
Yes, Chris, I'm afraid so. Any one of these three scenarios, be it Mercosur, which is the most imminent one possibly, and TTIP, and a possible breakthrough, any one of those could have devastating consequences if they're not managed properly by European people, and so that's why we're protesting it at the European offices.
Yep. Now, the Mercosur talks have been going on, I think, since 2010. Essentially, the countries involved, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay and Venezuela. I was reading somewhere, if one simplifies it down to one possible exchange of trade, it's beef into Europe and cars out of America. I mean, that's oversimplifying things. But there's, unfortunately, an element of truth there with quite a lot of consequences.
Yeah, you can throw in Uruguay there as well. And cars out of Europe, out of Germany, I think, is probably is really what they're aiming for. I think the Germans are pushing it on this end, you know. And unfortunately, beef, as you know, is at saturation level in Europe. We produce enough of it here in Europe. We have the quality and the standards and the traceability and the environmental aspects all at such a high level that they can't be competed with on that level. And to allow in an inferior product from countries where, let's say, labour standards, environmental devastation is going on, and indigenous people indeed are being threatened in the Amazon region by these people that are producing this beef down there at a very, very large scale. We small farmers here in Ireland cannot compete with that on economic terms, but on quality terms, like, we have a much more superior product, and if it's not protected and our farmers are not protected, and I might also add, if our consumers are not protected, because consumers here are very discerning and they do not want inferior grade food, and unfortunately it's been hoisted on them by some of these very large corporations that want to profiteer at our expense.
You've nothing to lose, everything to gain by making your feelings known. But I suppose across Europe, there are many farming organisations who would have similar views. And is there enough collective clout on the agricultural side of things to help influence the eventual deal, which we presume will eventually be hammered out?
Well, that's why we continued our protest on to Kildare Street, outside Ag House and also outside the Dáil. And To make politicians aware, like, there is a handful of politicians here that are quite well aware, and a couple of MEPs are very well aware, but in general a lot of politicians are very blasé about these trade deals and don't realise that these multinational corporations come in and they just shift the labour that they require for producing cars or whatever to another jurisdiction totally, and we do promise to jobs don't ever materialise. It's happened all over the world, and it's these big corporations are individually, they're more powerful than many countries, and so it must not be allowed to happen. Like, the idea of having a European Union is to protect the citizens and its farmers and so on, and to protect food safety and health of the people as well. So if they're not going to get real on this, and if our politicians here doesn't up to the plate on this, I think it's a very sad day for the future of farming in rural Ireland and our citizens in general.
Over the last 6 weeks, we've had plenty of things going on behind the scenes with regard to the possibility of forming some form of new government. Quite a few new TDs elected to the Dáil, and one of your briefs, one suspects, is to make sure that they are fully informed or as much informed as you can make them to be aware of what's coming down the track?
Well, that's the reason we brought our national executive members to Dublin to make these politicians aware, despite the fact it's very hard to get away from farms this time of the year. As you know, it's very busy, lots of young stock to be looked after and maybe some crops to be planted and so on. And it's not easy to get away, but we managed to put up a very strong protest and it went down well, and we had a lot of support from some individual politicians, I may add, and independent politicians in particular were very much interested in what we had to say.
For the farmer in Donegal, a lot of these deals can seem a million miles away, and negotiations, be it in Brussels or in South America, at the end of the day, who is involved in Europe in making these decisions? How much does our Minister of Agriculture have a say in things?
Well, Cecilia Malmström and the EU Commissioner Philip Hogan is you know, in prime position out there with these decisions. But I'm afraid our Minister of Agriculture here, I'm not sure if he is still our Minister of Agriculture, you know, the way he's behaving, he's got other portfolios and so on and so forth. But we certainly hope that the incoming Minister for Agriculture will step up to the mark on this one and really push it home, the importance of protecting the rural environment here and the rural farmers and the food sources for people and to protect people's incomes. If not, there'll be an exodus from rural Ireland to places like Dublin looking for more jobs that might not exist.
I understand these negotiations have been going on for around 6 years. Do we know when they will be concluded? Is there a deadline to get a deal there?
Well, there is a date on the middle of May on this Mercosur proposals, but we certainly want to see it taken off the table, beef being taken off the table, the possibility of bringing in beef from South America in to undermine the beef here. It has to be a no-no, and we need our politicians to get real on this one.
Trade is all about things going in both directions. Is there anything positive in a possible deal here from the Irish agricultural viewpoint?
Well, as I said, the jobs promise has been the you know, the carrot, let's say. But in the past, these trade deals haven't delivered the jobs. And I think we need, as a country, to be sovereign and to be very strong in dealing with these very powerful multinational entities. And I don't think we've been strong enough in the past to demand that they pay their full taxes here and comply with our regulations here in Europe and so on and so forth. So I think the incoming government has a strong task in asserting themselves, and it hasn't been done, I believe, in the recent past.
So we have the EU negotiating about a trade agreement with some of the major countries in South America. And at the same time, we have what's called TTIP, which is the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Again, it's trade negotiations, this time between the European Union and the United States. And just to enlighten people, a lot of this seems to be going on behind closed doors. And essentially, a lot of it's to do with big global corporations really positioning themselves to make more profit.
Well, unfortunately, that's the position, and fortunately, there is politicians in Europe like François Hollande, the French Prime Minister, who is standing up and standing firmly with his farmers. And we need to see a similar reaction here, and we haven't seen it as yet. But François Hollande has to be proud of his position that he's taken, and he's standing up against TTIP in particular, and he's standing with his farmers there, and that needs to be done here.
And again, one of the fears is the fact that we're talking about the quality of the Irish produce and the high standards here. People may be a little bit surprised, but in the United States, a lot of their regulations are not as strict, and also concerns about processed foods being sold with genetically modified ingredients.
That's correct. If we have an opportunity and to get a higher price, it has to be in asserting our high standards here. And as a nation, as an island nation, we have a massive opportunity there to achieve a higher price. But I don't believe we're playing to our full strength on that. And I think there's a lot of potential to pick up on the slack there and avoid importing cheap fillers from South America that are only really adding profit to merchants' bottom lines, and that they're not doing anything for Irish farming. They need to bring in higher quality non-GM products in here, which I believe, I'm told by importers, they can actually be very, very cost effective and actually the same price per feed unit. And but they just don't have that filling potential. They're just more concentrated feed. But our tillage farmers could benefit here by a little support in that regard too, not being undermined by importing rubbish type fillers from particularly Argentina.
And finally, Patrick Kent, Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association President. These are particularly difficult times for the dairy sector at the moment, and indeed many farming sectors could do with lift. Commodity prices pretty low. Are there any rays of light on the horizon?
Well, the dairy people are in the fortunate position that they have a higher income than dry stock farmers, despite the fact that they have higher costs and so on, but they certainly have a more stable income, you know. And I think to appreciate that and to look at the dry stock farming sector and see how vulnerable they are, I think it's the dairy industry seems to be in a much more positive position, let's say, than the dry stock sector. The dry stock sector is quite vulnerable to these trade deals, and particularly if beef has been put on the table in deals like the TTIP or the Mercosur. And I think that's got to be prioritised by all concerned in the foreseeable.
And we hear a lot of talk in the formation of whatever government that we do get about maybe a minister for rural Ireland and the need to improve infrastructure and incomes in rural areas. And I'm sure from the ICSA's point of view, you would be hoping that maybe rural Ireland is in for some better treatment in the years ahead.
Well, I think it's up to all politicians to assert themselves and be a minister. If they're from a rural part of Ireland, they need to assert themselves as junior ministers for rural Ireland and step up to the plate there and act in the best interests of rural Ireland and to educate themselves about the possible consequences of not doing so. And I think it's imperative that a positive approach is taken. And we have a fantastic country here, but we need to market it more effectively. We need to get better prices for our farmers. We need to increase live exports of livestock and avoid gluts and downturns and so on and so forth. And also to protect the health of our citizens here also, which has got to be paramount. I think there's a lot of work to be done there by all the elected representatives.
And just before I let you go, you mentioned there the live export trade. What is the very latest on that? Are we seeing new markets opening up?
Yeah, there is hope there. There is a chink of light there that there may be a Turkish market, but they have been delaying the Turkish inspectors coming in here by not giving them visas, delaying them 2 weeks. I believe that's been resolved now, but that sort of foot dragging with regards to live exports has got to be stopped. And these people have got to be facilitated as quickly and effectively as possible so that they can get on with the business of exporting cattle.
And that was the president of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association, Patrick Kent. Moving to matters closer to home, and I've been talking to the chairman of the Donegal County Executive of the Irish Farmers Association, Michael Chance, about the County Executive's AGM next Tuesday. And the new leader of the new president of the IFA, Joe Healy, is coming up.
Yeah, we hope Joe will be there, barring last minute hitches. And his top priority at the minute is the state of farm incomes, which are depressed in all areas. And so I hope farmers will find it worthwhile to come along.
Now, he's coming in at a difficult time. Over the last few years, much was made of the contribution that the farming sector made to the economy during the difficult years. And the hope is that whatever government comes in, that there'll be some element of payback for rural Ireland. Many people will be very interested to see how Joe Healy gets on.
Of course they will. He's coming in at a very difficult time, both economically and farming, and at an organisational level within IFA, and he has a huge job of work to do.
And worth pointing out that you were one of the county chairmen who nominated him for the post of president, and he got great support in Donegal.
He did. The reason I nominated him was because the demand, as far as I could ascertain in Donegal, was people wanted change and someone from outside the loop.
And also just one other thing, Michael, at the AGM coming up this Tuesday, there will be a number of committee chairman posts up for election.
That's right, yeah, and the Farm Family Committee, the Environmental Committee, the Potato Committee, and also in any year, the county chairman can also be challenged. It's a four-year term, but it's actually 4 1-year terms, so people want to, they can put their names forward for that position.
And despite all the problems in the association and the discontent that was there last year, membership across the country has actually dropped only marginally. And the IFA going forward, once again, the whole unity and strength in numbers message will be put out there.
It will, but also we need to be very aware that if we don't perform, membership is still in danger.
Michael Chance there, chairman of the Donegal County Executive of the IFA. Well, that's it for tonight's programme. As always, many thanks for listening from me, Chris Ashmore. Until next week, goodbye.